It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new years-long investigation by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel describes the aftermath of a massive cleanup of toxic chemicals in the lower Fox River in northeastern Wisconsin.
It's been more than 5 years since one of the world's largest PCB remediation projects was completed, but at least one worker from the site who was exposed to the chemicals on the job in 2013 is still fighting for compensation to treat multiple cancer diagnoses since then. We'll hear from that worker in just a bit.
The California-based engineering firm that oversaw the cleanup, Tetra Tech, has denied legal responsibility for his aggressive cancers.
OSHA opened an investigation into the facility in 2019 after receiving dozens of safety complaints and gave safety recommendations to the company, issuing no citations.
WPR reached out to Tetra Tech for comment about this PCB removal project, but did not hear back. Caitlin Luby is a reporter covering the environment and the Great Lakes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She and investigative reporter Tamia Folks worked together on this new investigative series on PCB cleanup. Caitlin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What are these toxic chemicals, PCBs, and how did they get into the Great Lakes waterways in the first place?
Yeah, PCBs are a group of more than 200 man-made chemicals, and they were originally produced a little bit before World War II, and they were great because, like, they're pretty much built to last. They can withstand heat and chemicals, but a few decades in, people started to learn that there were a lot of health impacts to them, so they were inevitably banned by the EPA in the 1970s. But before that, along the Lower Fox River, they were being used by paper mills, and they were being dumped into the Lower Fox River through the paper mill's wastewater.
Okay, through their discharge. How big of a project was this PCB remediation in the Lower Fox River? Can you put it into context?
It was huge. A lot of people mentioned it as the biggest one that's ever happened of its kind. And there were about 6.5 million cubic yards of sediment that had these PCBs in them that had to be dredged out of the waterways, processed, and then stored. So it was really a massive effort and cost about $1.3 billion.
And ultimately, this work wrapped up in recent years. Is that right?
Yeah, the cleanup was declared finished in 2020. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so far, it seems to be pretty successful. The DNR put out a five-year progress report, I believe, last year, and it shows that the health of the river is improving, but it's going to take some time before, you know, fish are safe to eat.
Why did you want to follow a worker's story for multiple years? What sparked this investigation?
I had been reporting on Great Lakes cleanups of PCBs for some time. They're occurring all over. There's one going on here in Milwaukee, so they're pretty common. And I had someone reach out to me telling me about Scott's story, and I thought it was really compelling. And just this idea too, you know, PCBs, they were banned a really long time ago, but this story kind of shows that, you know, they are still in our waterways. They are still having an impact. And I thought it was really important to highlight someone who worked really hard to make sure that the river is clean for everyone, but he's dealing with a lot of fallout from his time working at that facility.
And let's now hear from Scott Meisenheimer, who worked for the engineering firm Tetra Tech that oversaw this cleanup. He later developed cancers that doctors say are closely related to PCB exposure. Scott, thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Can you talk a little bit about what your role was in this Lower Fox River cleanup effort?
Yeah, I was responsible for loading the material after it was dredged out of the river that we would load onto semi-trucks that they would haul to the landfills, depending on how toxic it was. And then towards the end of the year, it was mostly cleanup as far as inside. But that was mostly my job, was running a front-end loader and cleaning up.
What was that work environment like? Did you feel like you were being kept safe from this potential exposure to the contaminated sediment you were moving?
Basically, No. I didn't feel like it, and the more I'd asked, the more I was told just to do what you're supposed to do and don't worry about it. But everything pretty much in the plant was covered with PCB dust from the cake. They call the cake stuff that they dredged out, they called it cake. So as you went, drove around, even with the loaders, it would kick up dust. So there's dust and everything. But we were always told that these piles we were moving were all within government specs and we shouldn't worry about it. And that's pretty much, you know, we just listened to our supervisors and did what we were told, basically.
So that was your time in 2013. Fast forward to 2015 when you're diagnosed with cancer for the first time. Did you suspect it was linked to your PCB exposure?
Not at the time, right away, but after doing some research on what it can cause, and I had developed a rash maybe within maybe 40 days after I was exposed to the chemical on my leg, that it was called a chloroacne rash. And we had problems in the past. A few other people had noticed that they were getting pimples and rashes on their arms and whatever just from being exposed. And I had gotten it pretty bad in the back of my leg. And so one day, just by chance, at a doctor's visit, I was in for a physical, and he asked me what was on the back of my leg, and that's pretty much how this started. They took a skin biopsy there, and it came back as stage 4 melanoma. Mm. And that's where all this began. And it was in the exact same spot where I had been soaked through my pants and through my coveralls from the water that was on the floor at the facility that I was working in.
What was the process like trying to get workers' compensation and get your medical expenses paid for by Tetra Tech and its insurance company?
It was pretty awful. I got to admit, finding an attorney to represent me that wanted to actually help instead of just in for the judgment, it was almost impossible. Most of the workman's comp attorneys that I've talked to just want to get a quick settlement and get out of it. If it costs them money for witnesses and specialized people to testify, most of them don't want to get involved in that unless there's a big payout on the end. So I had a lot of problems. I bet you I contacted over 40 different law firms, and I could not find anybody that wanted to really help. And that was the biggest problem, because it's not a great idea to go into court not being represented by a law firm.
How much of your cancer treatment was then ultimately covered?
Well, the judgment that we had gotten from the court stated that Tetra Tech and AIG were responsible for any future cancer-related treatments. So I was at Fratert and SSM in Fond du Lac, and Fratert in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And they were billing Gallagher and Bassett, which represents AIG. Well, the first bill they got, they rejected. They wouldn't pay it. So what happened was my insurance company got the next bill, because Fratert switched to my insurance, and they've been paying ever since. And Tetra Tech and AIG have not paid one dime towards any of my medical bills, according to the judgment I have from Workman's Comp. And that's where we are today.
That's where we are today. Scott, I'm going to bring back Caitlin Luby now, the environmental reporter for the Journal Sentinel, who covered the story. Caitlin, what did the experts you talked to say about the potential connections between Scott's cancer and his PCB exposure?
Yeah, first I have to say, you know, very much PCBs are considered a problem of the past. So even finding experts that were willing to talk about it was quite the challenge. But, you know, we ultimately found two experts. One of them pointed us in the direction of the literature showing that, yeah, PCBs, depending on how you're exposed and vulnerabilities and whatnot, they can cause cancer, and specifically melanoma and lymphoma are two that they've been linked to, and they happen to be the two kinds of cancers that Scott has gone through.
What stands out to you about Scott Story and workers' compensation. What is the takeaway here?
I would say there just seems to be a lot of layers and issues in terms of, you know, everything from how these sites and these cleanups are being maintained and looked over, and also just issues with the workman's compensation process in general. And especially when it comes to these environmental cleanups, like, it is so hard to link an environmental exposure to health outcomes like cancer. So I think, you know, there needs to be steps in line to make sure that things like this don't happen again, and that workers that are cleaning up, you know, our waterways for everybody else to use are being safe.
Scott, knowing what you know now, do you have any reflections looking back to that time you worked on the PCB cleanup in 2013?
I do, because they really weren't looking out for us at all. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that should have been taken care of at the plant that OSHA even recommended that they didn't do. I mean, we weren't supposed to eat inside or anything, or, you know, cook around there. And then we were just exposed all the time, and we had no idea that it was as dangerous as it is. Even just a very small amount can cause cancer, and it's been proven. So, I mean, looking back, I guess maybe you always second guess yourself, but, you know, when I'd ask why we were not wearing these suits, and the guys from the lab are wearing hazmat suits and we're walking around just with a cloth coverall, I mean, it kind of dawns on you looking back. But, you know, at the time, we just were told what to do and that it was safe. So our supervisors were, I think, more or less neglecting us in the long run. They just wanted to get the job done. So,
Scott, thank you for sharing your story.
You bet.
Scott Meisenheimer, a worker who was involved in the cleanup, later developed aggressive cancers. Caitlin Luby, a reporter covering the environment and the Great Lakes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, with us to share her investigative reporting about PCB cleanup in the Lower Fox River. Caitlin, thank you.
Thank you.
And we reached out to Tetra Tech for a statement and did not hear back by airtime.